Hello, I'd like to draw your attention to Blokes, the mental health CIC that provides a safe, supportive and non-judgmental platform for men who are 16 and over to open up about their thoughts and feelings, connect with like-minded people and tell a hashtag male tale. You can create your own Blokes account for free by visiting blokes.life and share your own stories, tips and advice based on your own lived experience with mental health. You can also find more information about Blokes, including how to get in touch to organise mental health signposting sessions, talks and workshops. As you well know, men are often hesitant to discuss their thoughts and feelings or fear of being labelled as weak, unmanly or pathetic. And Blokes aims to show that admitting when you're struggling and asking for support is not only brave, but vital. Head over to the Blokes Twitter, Instagram and Facebook accounts to learn about the movement and how to begin getting comfortable with talking about how you're really feeling.
You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast.
Hello, baseball family. Welcome into the Roundup Show, the British baseball audio fanzine that showcases you and your teams and your leagues. If you'd like to get involved or feature in this show, just drop me a little video with your team's highlights from the weekend series. Do it by direct message on Facebook or by email, britishbaseballpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know who you are, who you play for, and why your series was so good with the highlights, the lowlights, and all the bits in between. And let us know who that player of the week is too. Speaking of player of the week, don't forget to nominate your player of the week on the BSUK website, and I can put the links in the show notes for you. I mean, you can follow link tr.ee/BritBaseballPod, and all the forms you need are in there too. So let's have a quick start with some news from around the leagues. Following from feedback from the players, GB Baseball have announced an additional date for the national team tryouts for the women's national team. So as well as the 7th of August session at Grofield Ballpark, which is Hearts Baseball Club's home stadium, there is another date of the 21st of August at 10:30 in the morning, and that's at Alderman Keyshaw Park. That's the home of Hull Scorpions. Go to GB_baseball on Twitter to have a look at the link there, or have a look in the show notes in the description for links too. Congratulations to Backflip and Nerds for getting to the number one spot in the category of baseball in Britain. They've edged out strong competition from the Athletic Baseball Show, Section 10 and Baseball Tonight. So it's not an easy feat, but it's a definitely well-earned one. And long may it continue. Have a look for where Backflip and Nerds is, wherever you get your podcast from. And let's have a look now. British Baseball Podcast in the top 10, top 20, 50, 100. Doesn't seem to be any more numbers. Moving on. Wellington Khaki Sox of the West Country Baseball League have presented the Exeter Spitfires chairman with an honorary jersey with 00 Oliver on the back of it to thank him for his help in forming of their baseball club. What a lovely gesture that is. On the 29th of July, an article appeared in the Richmond and Twickenham Times, a baseball monument, which has arrived at the Richmond Baseball Club, has left them bewildered. A mysterious baseball-shaped monument, which appeared overnight at the home ground, has inspired a flurry of conspiracy theories. The sudden appearance of the 1.75-metre-tall sculpture, constructed of 162 baseballs, weighing just over 35 kilograms, induced a flood of wild speculation between teammates as to how it ended up there. A link to the full article is in the show notes. So last week's trivia question of which were the five locations of the 1938 Amateur Baseball World Series, the answers were Liverpool at Wavetree Stadium, Hull, Old Craven Park, which is now a supermarket. We have Rochdale, Spotland Park, Halifax, the Chase, and Leeds Headingley Stadium. So well done to those who got that right. This week's bit of trivia is what was the name of the Everton football legend who was also a fantastic baseball player in the 1930s. As always, Project Cobb is a fantastic resource for researching your answers. BSUK's Player of the Week nominations have been and gone, and week 13's Baseball Player of the Week is Grace Willis of the Hearts Falcons. Congratulations, Grace. I've also managed to secure an interview with the Week 12 Player of the Week, Kieran Helps of Guildford, and here he is to talk about his week in baseball. And joining me now is the BSUK Player of the Week for last week. It's Mr. Kieran Helps. Kieran, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Matt. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Thank you for coming on and giving us a quick overview of the weekend's action that we just had. Just like to start by asking, what was your mindset entering the game?
In honesty, it was such a hot day. My mindset was more just about just trying to keep my head focused, because with it being, I think it was like 32 degrees that day, it was a real struggle to kind of just focus on what we were doing and actually commit to what we wanted to do in the game.
Interesting. So how did you manage to stay focused throughout such difficult conditions?
We were lucky enough that we had a decent sized bench, so we knew that we could put our all in, we could do what we had to, but if we needed to, there was always going to be somebody who can come in and take our place. So we actually had that mindset of we can go hard knowing that we don't have to worry too much about it.
Cool. So what can you tell us then about the game? How was your performance?
I like to think I had a pretty good game, to be fair. Error-free, which is always important. But overall, it was more just, I think, we had a great start from the team and we just rolled with it all the way through that game.
Cool. Any plays to note or any events you want to talk about?
Well, obviously, I hit my first home run and it was a grand slam, which is a pretty nice feeling. It was, again, everything just fell into place. Second inning, and we had the three leadoff batters for that inning just got on base. I think it was one walk and two hits. And, well, everything just fell into place. The ball came at me. I saw it all the way. Just thought, go for it. And connected sweet as a nut.
What were you thinking when you saw the ball leave the bat?
I honestly barely saw it come off the bat. It was one of those, I didn't really feel it so much off the bat itself. It came off right off a sweet spot. I knew it was going left. I knew it was going towards left field. But I just turned and went to first base. First I really knew about it was I'd been waved around to second. And I was looking up and I saw the left fielder had his hands up. Phil, who was ahead of me, was jogging from second to third. And that's when I kind of realized that, oh, crap, it's out of play. But, yeah.
Really? What an occasion. So that was a quite interesting game one for yourself. But I believe that game two, we've seen people do sacrificial bunts and sack flies. We actually sacrificed game two, from what I believe. Do you want to tell us what you did to in game two?
Well, I suppose sacrifice definitely the term. Again, due to the heat, we had a Lee, who was our catcher for the first game, he was going to be umpiring for the second. But after spending all that time behind the plate in his kit, he couldn't carry on. And I couldn't blame him for that. I was hot enough as it was playing at shortstop. So the question came up, Chris Ward came up and it was like, we need somebody who can umpire. And I just thought, well, I've done it before. I know what I'm doing. So yeah, I would quite happily do that instead of playing.
Okay. Would you suggest umpiring to anyone else that's never considered it before?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously in our game, we need as many umpires as we can get. Part of that is just because on a volunteer basis or a professional basis, we always need somebody who knows the rules. And to do the umpiring, I was lucky enough that I had Doc, Dave, who was my base umpire for the game as well. So any kind of stickles on the rules and all that kind of thing, I could ask him. But to be behind the plate, to get a feel for that, it's well worth it. It's something that I think everybody needs to do at least once just to get the feel for the game.
Brilliant. Thanks for the advice. So how is the Guildford Mavericks season going so far?
It's going pretty well, I'd say. I mean, definitely with the Millers, we've got so many rookies and we're throwing them in at the deep end, and it's great to see them develop as the season goes on. Definitely those first few games where you can see a bit of panic setting in, but now we're getting kind of towards the tail end, as it were, and they're making the plays, and it's great to watch. As a group, we're all coming together so well.
Yeah, we've had a bit of a baptism of fire in Manchester as well. We have people that turn up for like two or three training sessions and then boom, straight into a game. It's been good learning the job.
Exactly. And honestly, that's how they threw me in as well. I think I joined halfway through the season back in 2019. And it was pretty much a case of, yeah, it seems like fun. And then like a week later, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, you're starting shortstop. It's like, okay, let's go.
Brilliant. So how are you now preparing for the next game?
Well, we've had our midweek training. And we've definitely gone over more of the fundamentals. We've organised our positions for the upcoming game for both games in the doubleheader, and we know where we need to go. We've got our game plan in our mind. We know our batting order. We've trained for it, so we're going to go out there. We're just going to stick to that game plan. We're going to commit, and we're going to execute what we can.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Kieran Helps. You are the BSUK Player of the Week for baseball. Is there anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to, or anyone you want to give thanks to?
I would definitely a big shout out to all the Millers team and the Gold Cats, because I mean, they've obviously been our division rivals because they play at home as well, and they've been a fantastic team to play against. For the Millers, just the entire team, like I say, we've come together so well. And big thanks to Chris Ward coaching us, really driving everything to what we do. And then for Michael as well, who's a manager, he's been organising it all. And without him, especially as this week, a few of us have been trying to do the lineup ourselves. It's been such a headache. So big praise to him, because we couldn't do it.
Excellent. Kieran, all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, Kieran. Hope you enjoyed that one. And if you want to nominate your players, there might be a teammate that you thought had an absolute worldie, then as always, put the nominations through at BSUK and we'll get them read out and see if we get an interview with them too. So let's now move on to some baseball action on the roundup. We have the action from Baseball Scotland with Tayport Breakers travelling to the Edinburgh Diamond Devils. This was another victory for the Diamond Devils as they won 23 runs to 9. The Edinburgh Cannons travelled to the Glasgow Comets, and it was the away side, the Cannons booming in there with 20 runs to the Comets 4. And Glasgow Galaxy would win their game at the Granite City Oilers in Aberdeen, 12 runs to 5. And that leaves the AAA division looking like this. The Diamond Devils of Edinburgh at the top with 6 wins and 1 loss. The Edinburgh Cannons in second place with 4 wins and 2 losses. Same results there for the Glasgow Comets. They also have 4 wins and 2 losses. Granite City Oilers with 3 and 3. Glasgow Galaxy, 2 wins and 4 losses, and Tayport Breakers with 0 wins and 7 losses. Also on the development side, I don't have any results this week because unfortunately John's not been available. We have the Diamond Devils at the top with 6 wins, 1 loss. The Glasgow Comets development side with 5 and 1. Tayport Breakers with 4 and 3. Edinburgh Cannons in 4th spot with 2 and 4. Glasgow Galaxy with 2 and 4. And Granite City Oilers development with 0 and 6. So well done, all those involved. Moving on now to the British Baseball Federation NBL. We have one game that was played on the Saturday the 24th, and it was the Essex Arrows at home to the London Legends at Town Mead Playing Fields in Waltham Abbey. The Arrows scored 3 runs in the first inning with some solid hitting. Ben Morris would go on to score for the Legends in the third, but it was the Arrows who put the game beyond reach in the fourth inning with some RBIs and some passed balls. And that game ended up 7 runs to 1 in favour of the Arrows. Game 2 was a high-scoring affair that would be settled in extra innings. As in game 1, the Arrows scored first. The Legends struck back by scoring 4 in the second, with the Arrows only managing a single score in the same inning. There'd be no more runs scored until the fifth inning, with our very own spreadsheet monster Matt Moran scoring on a stolen base. The Arrows fought back, notching up 2 more runs. The Arrows then added to their scoring 6th with an additional run, but it was 2 runs apiece being scored in the seventh. That would be the appetizer for the feast that happened in the eighth inning. 5 runs belonging to the Legends, Lewis Dean scoring off a Ben Morris single to centre field, and Matt Moran double bringing home Luke Hand and Ben Morris and Miggy Rodriguez. And Angel Chira single to centre field brought home Matt Moran to complete their scoring. The Arrows would try to make a comeback when Giovanni Escalona scored when Juan Diaz was hit by a pitch. But that was all she wrote, as the Legends won that game 12 runs to 8. On to the Sunday action. We had the London Capitals playing against the Hearts Falcons at Enfield Playing Fields in London. Hearts opened the scoring with a single run in the first via a Phil Clark single to right centre field, bringing home Will Zucker. But the Capitals dominated the third inning scoring with 9 runs, a dominant hitting performance from the whole side. 2 more runs were scored by the Capitals in the bottom of the fourth with no reply. And in the fifth by Hart, the game was called and it was the Capitals with the win as the Capitals won that one. London Capitals won 11-1. London Capitals would also win game 2, 12-3. Over at Farnham Park in Slough, the London Mets took on the Lancashire Legends, and it would be the Mets that opened the scoring with Drake Yoshida scoring off a Jamie Dix ground out, but there would be no further scores until the Legends' designated hitter, Alexander Patterson, hit into a double play at the top of the fourth, with John Carter coming home to add to their total. Brendan Power would score in the bottom of the fourth for the Mets off an Aiden Pierce double to right centre, and Rory Chandler ground out following Adrian to come in to score. But that would be it for the Legends, as the Mets would run in 3 more runs in the fifth inning, or another by Adrian Pierce, which was a double, and Rory Chandler triple, being plays of note in the final 2 runs being scored in the sixth inning. So that one ended up 8-1 in favour of the Mets. Game 2 had only last 6 innings, with the Legends scoring 2 runs in the third, and then their final run in the fourth, and the Mets inflicting damage with 5 runs in the third and 6 more runs in the fifth when that score was spread out, as they won game 2, 13-3. So let's have a quick look then at the standings in the NBL. London Capitals remain on top of the tree with a better percentage, and it was 20-2. London Mets were in second place with 23-3. Essex Arrows in third place with 13-13. Lancashire Legends in fourth place with 7-17. London Legends in fifth spot with 5-16. And Hearts Falcons at sixth place with 0-17. So let's have a look then at the AAA scores. The Bournemouth Bears were at home at Ferndown Leisure Centre hosting the Bristol Badgers. Game 1 would need extra innings to decide its fate. Both teams heading to the 8th, tied at 6 runs apiece, and the Badgers' right fielder, Jonathan Brownlee, homering for a 3 RBI, bringing in Roddy Theker, Mattia Papini, along with himself in the 3rd, to add to the scores. But it would be a Jose Lopez single to centre field that brought in catcher Juan Miguel Ortega Ramirez to clinch it for the Bears, as they won that game 1, 7-6. Game 2, it would be the game 1 hero Jose Lopez who got the win from the mound, as he only allowed 2 hits over the 5 innings in this game. The Bears scored 1 run in the first, notch up another 5 runs on the second, and some good hitting from the Southwestern Wales League leaders with 4 more runs in the fourth to seal the shutout as they won game 2, 10-0. The first game over at Walthamstow Avenue for the East London Latin Boys against the Richmond Knights AAA side was forfeited, but game 2 saw the East London Latin Boys wasting no time putting Richmond Knights to the sword with a combination of big hits and stolen bases, putting Pepe Anderson's team ahead with a big lead in the first. The Knights started their comeback, putting up 2 runs in the top of the second via 2 stolen bases, but the Latin Boys putting another 5 runs into the bank with a combination of hitting and stealing bases to increase their lead. Both sides scored 1 run apiece in the third inning, but there'd be no more scoring as the game was called in the fifth, seeing the Latin Boys increase their lead at the top of the AAA South as they won game 2, 15-3. Essex Arrows were at Town Mead Playing Fields in Waltham Abbey as they welcomed the Kent Buccaneers AAA side. Game 1 was scored 11-6. Over to Finsbury Park in London, as the London Mammoths took on the Essex Redbacks AAA. That game ended up 8-4 in favour of the Mammoths. Although game one was only five innings long, the game seemed quite close up until the fourth and final inning, with both teams getting on the board in the first. But the Redbacks gained the lead, adding 3 runs to their total in the top of the third without reply. But 5 runs scored in the bottom of the fourth by some great hitting by the Mammoths clinched it for the home side. Let's have a look then at the AAA standings. AAA South sees the East London Latin Boys in the top spot with 11-4. The Essex Arrows AAA side in second place with 11-6. The Essex Redbacks AA side are in third place with 10-7, with the London Marauders in the fourth spot with 8-6. London Mammoths in fifth with 9-8, with the Kent Buccaneers AAA side at 2-10. And the Richmond Knights in 7th spot with 2-12. The AAA Southwestern Wales sees the Bournemouth Bears AAA side with 10-2, Vetra with an 11-5 record in second spot. Third place is the Southwest Rebellers with 5 wins and 9 losses, and Bristol Badgers at the foot of the table with 2 wins and 12 losses. Moving on, let's have a look then at the BBF single A. I didn't get any results from double A, but plenty of action here as the Brighton Jets took on the Guildford Millers at Christ College in Guildford. That game ended up 7-1 in favour of the Wayside, the Jets. Game two, Brighton scored 11 runs in the fourth inning, and that was the final inning with some great hitting from pretty much everyone as they won game two, 21-4. The Hearts Londoners travelled to Finsbury Park in London to face the London Minotaurs. They would take game one, 12-6, and it would also be a victory for the Hearts Londoners in game two with 9-2. The Londoners scored in all four of those innings. Bracknell Inferno travelled to Waterhall playing fields in Brighton to face the Brighton Brewers. They would win both of their games in that series, the first game being 9-7, and the second game to the Inferno going 14-6. Bristol Bats were at Summerdale Pavilion in Bristol to take on the Bournemouth Bears single A team. And it would be the Bats putting up 5 runs in the first and fifth inning as their score was 15-8. And the Bats would do something similar by scoring 15 runs in game two to the Bears 4. The Bears started strong in game two, scoring 3 runs straight away. But the Bats decided to keep the theme of hitting 5 runs by doing that in all three of the first innings. The Bats won't score again until the fourth and final inning. Bristol Bucks took on the Western Jets again at Summerdale Pavilion. Would be the Wayside that would get the victors with 11-8 in game one and 22-9 in game two. Game one saw the Jets' Nick Hodder pinging a home run to deep left field as part of their 5 runs in the first inning. They spread out the other 6 runs over the rest of the game, but the Bucks put up 5 on the board in the third inning to start a comeback, but they only managed a single run in the sixth, and that ended the game. Game two was also a high-scoring affair. Those 15 runs being scored in the first two innings alone between the two sides. The Jets once again piling on the pressure by scoring 5 runs in the first two innings. Solid hitting contributions to all those runs. But the Bucks once just sit there. They hit 5 of their own. The comeback was officially on for the Bucks as they scored 2 runs without replying in the third. But the Jets hit the afterburners in the fourth, scorching 4 more runs and then 8 runs in the fifth and final inning. The undefeated Cardiff Merlins would go to Pontcarna Fields in Cardiff, welcoming the Bristol Brunels, and they would continue that undefeated streak with game one going 16-2 and game two going 10-2 in favour of the home side. And they remain undefeated. The game one was 5 innings long and they hit 5 runs in every inning except the third. Moving down now to Essex Redback single A team as they face the Hearts Eagle at Billericay. Game one started off with a Mike Wakelam home run in the top of the first for the Eagles, but the Redbacks replied by scoring 5 runs in each of the first 3 innings. Pitcher Ben Britt allowed only 4 hits over his full 5 innings pitched. Will Skeldon got in on the home run action too for the Redbacks with a moonshot to deep left in the bottom of the second. And then Will Chapman had a hold my beer moment by pinging his own home run in that inning too. And that was game one, 17-3 to the Essex Redbacks. And game two was a bit closer, but again, the Redbacks would win that one, 10-8. Moving on to Victoria Park in Taunton, as the Taunton Muskets hosted the Cornish Claycutters. The Claycutters won game one, 28-9, but the series would be split as the Taunton Muskets won game two, 12-4. Over to Bawley Field, the home of Tonbridge Baseball, when the Bobcats took on the Kent Mariners. And as always, here's our guy, Niall, with the roundup.
Hey Matt, this week saw the Tonbridge Bobcats travel to the new home of the Kent Mariners in Hove. What from the outset looked like we'd be lucky to play at all, turned into a full doubleheader which made the longer journey worthwhile. Unfortunately for us, the Mariners won both, 12-6 in game 1 and a close 11-9 defeat in game 2. But once again, many first year players played, including a rookie catcher in both games. Ben Harris was behind the plate in game one and Justine Walker in game two, both doing themselves and others proud with their performances. Game one saw myself playing right field for the first time in around 3 or 4 years, and it's fair to say based on my performance there, I'm glad I usually play first base. It's amazing how your perspective of the game changes when you play a position you're not used to. And Matt, you may be able to help me out with this stat. We may have had the biggest difference in age between our first baseman and second baseman in game one. On first base was Paul Wood, or Woody as he's normally known, who is 63 years young. And on second base was Reese McCauley, who's only 15 years old. Surely there's not many occasions where there's a 48-year age gap between the oldest and youngest players on a team sheet. But that's something we pride ourselves on. Anyway, that's all from me for this week, Matt. Speak again on the 8th of August, hopefully.
Thanks, Niall. Thanks for that insight. Again, great to hear from you as always. Hope you stayed with us. Much fun last week. Just to recap that, it was the Kent Mariners that won 12 runs to 6 in game 1 and 11 runs to 9 in game 2. Back down to Christ College in Guildford. And it was 16 runs to 8 for the Guildford Goldcats against the Richmond Dukes. And it would also be a win for the Goldcats in game 2 as they won that one 7 runs to 5. Over to the West Country Baseball League. Only one set of results to tell you about here. Open line to you. Two sets of results to tell you about here. The Wellington Khaki Sox travelled to the Exeter Spitfires, and the Spitfires won that one 17 runs to 9. And it was Plymouth Mariners versus the Oval Whirlwinds, and it was a dominant game by the Plymouth Mariners as they won 38 runs to 5. So that's it for me for this week. Hope you all have a great week. Seems like the weather is back to standard British weather default setting of miserable. Hope it doesn't affect your training or your games. Again, if you want to get in touch and let us know about your action, just drop us a message. And until next time, stay safe, take care. See you later.